May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
This thought this week, this is the third week in Advent, and really the last week, because the last Sunday of Advent, the very that next day is Christmas. So I thought we'd just do some Advent things. And this is, the story from Luke chapter 1. Where it says in verse 26, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Just a reminder again what the word Advent means and what this season particularly is about. It's the first season of the Christian year. And the word Advent just means to come. And in Advent, like Sunday, we lit the pink candles called Gaudet, which is just means joy, Joy Sunday. And the purple candles speak of repentance, because Advent's a season of duality. There's part of you that's reflective, and God search our hearts, repentative, because we're longing for, expecting the coming of Christ again. We want to be prepared for his coming. But then there's also the joy part, where we celebrate the fact that he did come. As an infant, he came the first time. So it's kind of those dual seasons. And so there's the joy, and then there's the heart preparation part of Advent. But as in the devotional I wrote today, the thing that's always blessed me about Advent is that I'm just reminded of the fact that God's not just accessible. He's extremely accessible. He calls himself the way. He's referred to as the door. He's a God of fellowship. He created us for relationship and fellowship with him. But he's more than accessible. He's a pursuer. He pursues intimacy with us. And it's not just that, and I understand the longing that Christians are being provoked to long for encounter. But let me just say this to you. He longs for encounter a lot more than we long for encounter. I mean, Advent is proof of that. He came in the strangest way, in such vulnerability, that God would take on the form of human flesh as an infant. There's nothing more vulnerable, nothing more at danger of being injured than a baby. Human baby, they can do nothing. To a couple of poor kids. and we'll talk about some of that this week. But the point is that God comes to us. He pursues us. And Advent reminds me of that, that he's just always in pursuit of encounter with me. There's always fresh comings. There's always fresh encounter. And there's always fresh favor that comes with it. When the Gabriel came to Mary, he said, "Hail, favored one." And then he says later, "You have found favor with God." I've always gotten tickled at her response when she said, "Hail, favored one." Because as most charismatic Christians would go, "Awesome, man, favor, encounter." But she said she was greatly troubled by this saying. Because I think she had better insight as a teenage kid than most modern day Western Christians have, is that we long to experience fresh comings in the Lord. I've had thousands of them. Every time I'm with the Lord in prayer, there's a coming of the Lord. I encounter him. There's fresh favor that's released. My life's always changed. I've had encounters with the Lord over the years, as I know all of you have, that have been extremely dramatic. I can kind of point back at those and go, "Yeah, that one and that one and that one." But man, there's been thousands of encounters, because that's just who he is. He just initiates that whole program of encounter and setup and sets, you know, to experience. And there's always fresh favor that he pours out. But I've learned too over the years, especially the real dramatic encounters, favor is favor. Favor is not a reward. But if you don't think favor is costly, you don't understand the ways of God. Because Mary understood it was costly. Even before she knew the deal, she just said, "Hail, favored one." She's like going, okay. Now, thank God for the favor. And nobody was more favored than Mary. any young girl, particularly the tribe of Judah, would have been wanted to be the one that carried the Messiah. I mean, there was never more greater favor given to a human being than Mary. And yet, with the favor, there were consequences. When the favor was announced, what the favor was, that she was going to bear the Messiah, she knew instantly what that meant on several levels. One, and I've said this before just even recently, that who would think that Joseph would understand? So she probably, all of her dreams and all of her growing up, she'd been in contract marriage with him since she was a kid. Everything she'd ever thought of, dreamed of, was done. And her reputation was out the window forever. She forever lived with the vast majority of people thinking she was an immoral, unfaithful, terrible Jewish woman. And yet, that announcement did bring extraordinary favor. I mean, who would not want to have that encounter? Who wouldn't want to have that breakthrough? I mean, you're talking about a breakthrough. Because here's the deal. Anytime you encounter God, again, it's not a reward. Anytime God pours out favor, the consequence is always a response of worship back to him, where you're giving stuff up. If you're going to steward the favor, you're going to give up some stuff. It's going to cost you everything. And just when you think you've given up everything, there's more everything that you got to give. That's why I tell people, I'll say that when you encounter the Lord, when there's fresh coming, you don't get more of him. There's a manifestation of more of him. There's an encounter of more of him. But what happens as a result is he always ends up getting more of you. So it's just important that we understand that. If you're longing for more encounter, you want more breakthrough, you want more favor, he's not going to say, well, you give me this so you can have favor, but you're going to find yourself, if you're going to steward that favor, you're going to find yourself before him offering gold and frankincense and myrrh. It's just what happens. That's what worship is. Worship is, I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, in light of God's favor, present everything that you have as your reasonable service of worship. It's just the way it is. And what happens is that when we make, as he pours out new favor and we make fresh offerings, sacrifices that are sacrifices of praise, not again of works or law, this sort of postures you for more favor. Not again because you're earning, it's just that there have been times in my life when God's come to me and he's encountered me, poured out favor on my life, did some stuff, and he said, but now I want you to understand that where you're going, you can't take that with you. Or I just kind of knew that. And that's really part of Mary's story. Because her response, when the conversation ended, she's asked, Lord, how is this going to happen? He tells her, yada, yada. In the end, she goes, this amazing response. This teenage girl goes, okay, favor, greatest favor any woman could ever experience, fresh coming, encounter, reputation, all my dreams, behold, the love prisoner of the Lord. That's what bondservant is. The prisoner of love, be it done to me according to your word. You got it. So I just think that other part of the breakthrough story should be told. You don't hear that a lot. Because what happens is often you have people who have an encounter, breakthrough, fresh coming. Advent tells us that's who he is. He wants to come again and again and again. He's just a God who comes. He comes after you. He comes to you. But he's also coming for you. Not just in the second coming, but in the 50th one you've had this week. He's coming for more. It's not just that you get the more. You don't really get any more, but you get to experience the more. But he gets the more. Because if that's not where you're at, then that fresh encounter, fresh favor is not going to, you're not going to handle it very well. You're not going to get experience the full thing of it all. You just won't steward it well. The lighter you are, the heavier you can carry the glory of God. It's just the way it is. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand.